Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander today on a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin beside me as always. And guys, we got a great show. Adam Burke will be here a little bit later. We got all kinds of guides and stuff over at the website. We
no
got all
way.
Kinds of goodness going on. Adam Burke can fill us in on every single one of those
That's
things,
right.
Kelly
Bidlin. Yes, he can.
And guys, of course, we will run through each and every one of the games as well. See what we want to take away from all of those. Is there anything that we can bring with us into week number 9? Is there anything that already got into our accounts? We'll get into all of that as well. And of course, you know, the Hail Mary heard around the world, or at least heard around the sports book, because I'm sitting here doing a show and like the thing was going absolutely wild.
Yeah, mattered to everybody involved. Yes, everybody.
Mattered to a ton of people with all of that. And of course, I'm not going to step on the tried and true, the tradition of guessing lines.
Yes.
For one, y'all aren't going to buy it anyway because I do a show in here on Sunday nights in which I'm like talking about
you
the lines
already.
As it is already. But we'll do more of an instant reaction here to
correct.
Lines. Is that how you would describe it? So we'll do an instant reaction.
We'll look ahead at week 9 and talk about those games like you said. And yeah, we'll recap a little bit what they did yesterday.
But first and foremost, I do want to say why I'm in this seat for this week. And it is not just a co-host and a friend and a colleague. I mean, this is a close personal friend of mine, and Gil Alexander, who is back east dealing with the loss of his mother. And it is, you know, one of those things we do this and we choose to do this. We put ourselves in front of a camera. We are out there. I know you don't like our plays. You don't like our takes. That's all perfectly fine. Well, you know, something like this that brings in the human element of all of this, still real people, Gil, an awesome human being, an awesome dude who's going through a pretty tough time right now. If you've ever been one of those guys that's sent some cool messages in here to a numbers game, because I know there's so many fans of this show. If you do want to drop a nice little note on the Twitter machine to him dealing with some stuff this week. And if you're one of those guys that sends some of the terrible ones, maybe you want to change your tune just this week and send a positive message, because this is it's sometimes, Kelly, you forget that this is real life. This are people that do have real lives whenever we leave the studio. And this is something that Gil's having to deal with this week.
Yeah, we often get to use this studio as an escape from some things in real life, too, where we just get to come in here and have some fun and talk sports, too. But Gil, we're feeling for you, man. Thoughts and prayers with you and your family this week during the tough time. And for anybody who's been watching the show, listening to the show over the years, you know, Gil, how close his mother was to him and how close they were to each other, and him having lost both of his parents since being on the air here at VSiN. It's been tough, and we're thinking of you today, man. We're thinking of you today.
For those of you that don't already know, at Beating the Book over there on the Twitter machine, drop a nice little line. Definitely will get read. Certainly will be appreciated. All right, so let's get into what we saw this past week in the NFL. And Kelly, this was a week in which I came away with something that I have started to do now that we're halfway through the season, which is I've lumped teams into actually good, I don't really know,
yep,
bad, and terrible, right? So I kind of have 5 different tiers of these teams, and we've started to, I think, figure out at least who are the really good, actually good teams and the terrible teams. Now, those 3 other tiers that we have going on, those could vary. Teams could move in and out of those different tiers, but I think I have a decent idea of who the 3, I only have 3, in the actually good, if that lets you know the state of the NFL.
Okay,
and I only have 3 teams
yeah.
in the actually good and about 5 in the terrible. Those are probably going to stick, but I think all the rest of this is still a little bit fluid.
Okay, I like it. We're going to have to. Yeah. What was that, 5 tiers?
Yeah, we got 5
I think
tiers.
We're loading up the 5 tiers tomorrow then. We'll do that. Right, we'll do a little bit of twist of power ratings.
There's some 5 tiers in all this.
Very scientific, too. What were the names of them again?
We have actually good, not really sure, don't know. you know, bad, and then terrible.
Okay, great. Yeah. Really scientific names to cap those off. Yeah,
absolutely. I didn't do the like Super Bowl contenders, playoff contenders, and all this because like no, man. Let's talk how we really talk when we get to the water cooler, and it's like, man, that team is terrible.
I got a lot of questions for some of those tiers for you though on teams like the Philadelphia Eagles. Where do they fall?
Oh well, you know what? Let's just go. We will do this tomorrow here on the program, but let's get to the story that everybody was talking about, and then. For a couple of different reasons. You're sitting there, you got you a Bears ticket, you cashed it, right? It was good to go. No matter what number you had, you were going to cruise to victory. And then Jaden Daniels drops back and he runs around in circles and then he goes and he heaves it. Ends up being officially only a little over 50 yards, but it was about 60 something yards in the air because he was behind the line of scrimmage and the ball gets tipped and finds Noah Brown. And the next thing you know, everyone's going crazy. The book exploded out here. Like, I mean, absolutely bonkers. And of course, not only do you lose your bet if you had a Bears ticket, but then the Washington Commanders win, move to what is now a really secure place in almost looking at the playoff. I mean, this team is probably going to go to the playoffs. And then afterwards, the fallout of the amateur footage catching the cornerback.
Oh, gosh.
Talking trash to the fans with his back turned as the snap is actually happening. And then he runs over, and by the way, he happens to be the dude who tips the ball, and then it goes into Noah Brown's. It's like, it was just a fitting end in that.
Yeah, he made the first contact on it. It was bad. The one thing about this, man, I actually think my biggest takeaway from this is, like, we that part was an excuse. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we break down Hail Marys way too much when they actually fail. Like, the play before of picking up 15 yards with no resistance to even put you in position is just as bad, if not worse, to me, that you allow that something like that so easily to happen. Because, I mean, Hail Marys, like this, I had a Bears ticket yesterday. I got on the opener last week. I had it plus money. Stuff like that, just, it happens though, right? Yeah. Like, this is a fluky play. These guys don't even practice it because they're worried about getting hurt in practice if they do practice. I if you're a Bears fan, you're already holding a Bears ticket like I am. You looked like you were in a good position after a bad game, so you should have felt pretty lucky to escape with a win anyways, and then betting karma comes back and bites you.
I was going to say, so that's the thing in all of this. If you watch that game, the Bears did not play well, and they were lucky to be in the position in the first place. And you look at this Commanders team now moves to 6-2. They are now going to be talked about as not just playoff contenders, but is there a way that they could figure out a way to steal this division? Because you start to look at the other teams around and wow, it's certainly not going to be the Giants. The Cowboys look like trash. So it's head to head with the Commanders and the Eagles. This is super, super interesting as to how this is all going to play out. Jaden Daniels, of course, now really securing, I mean, it would take a lot, I think, at this point for him not to win Rookie of the Year. They want to give it to a quarterback as it is anyway. Jaden Daniels goes out, has a pretty good game, and of course gets this kind of signature moment. We always talk about Heisman moments.
Yeah.
This could be more like an MVP, I mean, a Rookie of the Year type moment for Jaden Daniels in all of this. But when you're sitting there watching that, holding a Bears ticket, you knew heading into that play, right? You're kind of like, man, if I get away with this, this is me stealing a victory. Okay, yeah. This is me stealing a victory.
Yeah, 100%. I think it does go hand in hand a little bit with how, like, I don't think the whole Rookie of the Year race is going to be based off of this game, but you're right. We're in a game that Jaden Daniels played in hurt, outplayed Caleb in him, and then Caleb gets a chance to go down and actually take the lead and possibly win that game. You would have been feeling really bad if you were Jaden Daniels today in that team if you didn't walk away with completing that Hail Mary.
So the interesting thing about this, and yeah, Rookie of the Year, he is now minus 400 to to win Rookie of the Year. The interesting thing that happened in real time as this was going down was he moved to 10-1 in the MVP market, which I was like, guys, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. I mean, he has been good, and certainly that was a fun little moment in the course of the season, but he is 10-1 now to win MVP. Come on. Let's get real with all this.
Okay, I'll agree with you, but, and guys, if you have the graphic back there, you can throw it up. The top four names on this list, though, are Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff. It's it's hard for me right now, Matt, to see anybody else winning this award that's not one of those four guys.
Yes.
So, like, I don't really, my point is I don't really care who's fifth on the odds board and what their number is, because I don't really know that they're all that live.
And the interesting thing about this is even Mahomes, there's an argument to be made that Mahomes probably shouldn't be where he's at right now.
He should be twice the number that he is.
Because Patrick Mahomes has relied on this defense so far this year. I mean, the defense is actually the MVP for that Chiefs team. We'll talk about that game a little bit later. But let's talk about another guy that is on that list, and Josh Allen, who's plus 370 now to win MVP. They just absolutely destroy the Seahawks. I mean, this Seahawks team was without DK Metcalf, so they were coming in shorthanded. They were looking at an uphill battle as it was anyway. You have a declining Tyler Lockett. Jaxon Smith-Njigba hasn't really become a true force for this team yet. And so you knew it was going to be a tough battle. This was sitting, though, at just a field goal. One of my bigger positions on the week was the Bills going up against this Seattle team, because I actually really liked what they did at the trade deadline, bringing in Amari Cooper. And you're kind of like, oh, man. So if they win 31-10, must have been a huge game for Amari Cooper. Really made his presence felt. Yeah, one catch for 3 yards.
Yeah.
One catch for 3 yards. Like, Josh Allen just does it with whoever, whatever, and gets it done no matter what.
Yeah, it was one of my bigger positions this weekend as well. So that was good, because a lot of the others didn't work out this well. that was a good win for the Bills. The Seahawks team, man, it's just – They're tough right now. I think they're missing some of the pieces. I think that what they need on defense, down the middle of that defense, to really, really operate as well as McDonald wants them to be playing right now. And then offensively, there are a few wide receivers in this league that I take note of whenever they hit questionable or look like they might be out, because they can change the game in one play. DK Metcalf is certainly falls in that. And then it's this offensive line, right? It's been their whole year. Season has been, what can this offensive line do? And if you don't have a pass rush, like Atlanta a week ago, Geno could sit back there and carve apart these defenses. But when you go against a team that has a pulse on that side of the ball, they look like a completely different offense. And that's what I think we saw yesterday.
And the thing with DK not being in there, Kelly, is it just affected the whole offense, because Ken Walker couldn't get going. Yep. They couldn't, because you have to call different plays. The defense doesn't have to respect you downfield as much anymore, because that's just not who Tyler Lockett is anymore. And that's never been who Jaxon Smith-Njigba was, right? Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a completely different team. And now, with the way that they've fallen to 4-4, they're still not out of it because of the craziness that is that division. We will continue to talk about that. Are any of the teams any good in that division? I would love to get your opinion on that. And of course, we're going to look ahead to these week 9 lines and see if there's anything we want to get in the account. It's a numbers game here on VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a number game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. And guys, you asked for it. And since you asked for it, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give it to you. We got an app, Kelly Bidlin.
It's back, baby.
Well, you can go in and you can watch all of the live action over there on the app. It is absolutely free right now. You can actually watch everything for free right now. Now, at some point, we're going to need you to be a VSiN Pro subscriber and come around and be able to see that over there on the app. But you'll always be able to listen to us absolutely free over there on the VSiN app as well. You can easily stream video to your smart TV as well. We'll have some clips, all the different things like that. Again, the VSiN Watch app, it's free on both Apple and Android. So go in, get it today. Take advantage of the free trial. This was something that everybody was asking for. So came back in, decided that's something we wanted to give to them.
Yeah, we heard this a lot. We heard from you guys, and we're trying to bring it back. We're going to be bringing it back. And I know my mother will be able to watch the network again. She will.
She's an app user, right?
She was an app user. I don't know that she figured it out after the app went away the first time. So, she'll be back at some point.
There you go. It's like, listen, here's the thing. If you're a person that don't use that, we still have the optimized website on the thing. And you can do it. Now it's your choice.
That's right. It's your choice.
We're not forcing you down one road or the other. Just go down the road that you want to go to. Maybe the second biggest story after the Hail Mary was the resurgence of one Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, a guy that everybody was sitting there calling for at least the last 3 weeks, going, why in the world is Jameis Winston not starting at quarterback for the Cleveland Football Browns? We've seen what Deshaun Watson can do, and that is not very much. And so why would you have your best quarterback sitting on the bench? Everyone wrote articles. Everyone made snarky tweets. And then The decision wasn't the Browns, by the way. It had to happen. They were forced to put Jameis Winston in. That was the thing about
Let's keep that in mind.
There's no patting on the back going on here for the Browns organization. They were forced into this move. And then all Jameis Winston does is go out there and lead the NFL in passing yards yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens and an outright upset. No, they didn't just cover the number, which, by the way, they destroyed it because they won 29-24. Jameis Winston throws for 334. Like I said, leads the NFL for the week in passing yardage. And this is without Amari Cooper out there, Kelly Bidden. This is with him going and inventing Cedric Tillman to everybody out there. David Njoku does his thing. And this Browns team looks like an actual football team now.
Yeah, they really do. I think we're going to really have to take a step back and actually reevaluate what this team is now. I mean, just to put this in perspective, we've seen in Deshaun Watson's tenure in Cleveland, never threw for 300 yards in any of his 19 games. Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco, when they're on the field, 6 out of the 7 games they've played and they've hit that mark. So like it's a completely different offense we've seen those guys in. I've been sitting here, Matt, I know you will not be surprised to hear this, pounding this table right here to see Jameis Winston in for this team all season long. We finally got to see it. Look, are we going to see this level of consistency and high level play from Jameis Winston each week? No, it's Jameis Winston. If that's what you've expected or you've come to expect at this point, then you've figured out the wrong Jameis Winston. But can he do stuff like this from time to time? Can he push the ball downfield consistently? Yes, he can. And that completely changes and opens up this offense. It was great to see Jameis going out there and doing his thing yesterday. I had, shout out to Buddhist Man. I know he had Jameis for weekly leader in passing yards. I don't even know what the odds were on that, but that got home. And Matt, I went in so kind of cocky with like a little Jameis same game parlay that I had juiced up to like 50-1. That the look on your face.
And I like it.
Well, I'm going to the same parlay story that every parlay ends.
One leg.
Sure. One leg didn't get there. What was the leg? I had to include the interception for Jameis Winston because there's no way he could play in a game and not throw an INT, but he stayed clean.
Instead, he stayed clean. 334, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And like we said, invented Cedric Tillman. And this is actually funny. If you guys remember a couple of years ago when Cedric Tillman was coming out, there was this big deal around him because Randy Moss had come out and said that he thought that Cedric Tillman was the most talented receiver to come out of the draft in the last decade. And so everyone's like, really? That's weird. And so Randy Moss, of course, not a talent evaluator, but Cedric Tillman, 799-2. Elijah Moore, yeah, remember him? 885 in this one. Jerry Jeudy, 579. And then Njoku, 561. And mainly what this does is you now have to take this Browns team at least a little bit seriously, not only because Jameis Winston is at quarterback, but this offensive line got healthier as well. And next week should have all 5 starters back. So this is the offensive line of last year, which we were sitting here talking week in, week out. It's a top 5 offensive line. It's top 5 offensive line. How come they can't do anything on the offensive side of the ball? Well, now we know for sure it was because Deshaun Watson was one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in a very, very long time. And now we have to change our mindset. It is very weird to get to this point in the season, Kelly, and have to completely shift the way that we think about a team. Usually this is when we're figuring teams out. Now we've got a good idea who these teams are. Instead, with the Browns, healthy offensive line, Jameis Winston in at quarterback, they're no longer a bottom feeder. And do we have to now take them incredibly seriously in every game they play? Because they just beat a team that everybody was putting in at least a top 5 of their power ratings each week, and they beat them outright.
Yeah, I think it's, this is where the betting's so beautiful, right? Because of course we like for us that are betting on this, of course you have to take a step back and reevaluate this team. If you're just an NFL fan at home and you want to write off a 2-6 football team, fine, I get it. Like that, yes, it is unlikely that they're making the playoffs. I don't know if I'm still, I don't know if I think they really have a realistic shot at that, but there are some teams that are in that picture right now that are definitely weaker than what their record shows. So maybe, but from a betting perspective, yes, we have to take a step back, reevaluate what this offense is going to look like. And Winston is going to make the headlines, getting the offensive line healthy, getting Nick Chubb back in there and healthy, and now going to have a couple weeks under his legs running the ball. When that line gets back healthy next week, this is a completely different offense.
Yeah, I think this is the team that I will have to adjust the most in my power ratings this week, which I was not expecting to say that when it came to the Cleveland Browns, but I honestly believe this is the team that's going to make the biggest jump for me this week, given what I saw this past week. I mean, it is a capable defense, real offensive line, real quarterback. And while Amari Cooper's gone, let's remember, Elijah Moore was a highly touted prospect. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy was a highly touted prospect. Cedric Tillman was still a pretty good college player. I mean, like, this, it's not like this. And David Njoku decided he's going to be a five, you know, a top five tight end now. So, I mean, they still have talent.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely can make it work.
All right, let's talk a little Monday Night Football here because we still have one game left in the in week number eight. With that, by the way, we should say there are 16 pending Circa Survivor plays on this tonight, Kelly.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. On the Steelers, we lost 22 entries on Sunday, 23 overall because we lost one on Thursday as well. So we're down to 191. So we are sub 200 now, baby. Started with over 14,000 down to 191 with 16 pending on the Steelers tonight. And it's crazy to think that you're like, oh man, we only lost 23 entries. That's not a big deal. That is over 10% of the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big number at this point. Yeah. That's a big number at this point.
10% of the pool's gone. Yeah. So it's like if we'd have lost 10% of the pool, we were losing 30 and 40%. And everyone's like, oh, 10% is not that big of a deal. Well, it did. It got us down to 100, 200 entries left, only 191. So we're going to head into Monday Night Football. This is going to likely keep teetering back and forth between 5.5 and 6. This seems what the resistance point is in favor of the Steelers. 36.5. Yes, 36.5 is our total here in this one. Kelly Bidlin, we're going to be without Adoree Jackson, without Cordell Flott for the Giants. Those are two corners for them. Also, it looks like their right tackle probably not going to go, though. They listed him as questionable, but it's two DNPs on Friday, Saturday. So I don't know why they would listen to his questionable, but he is listed as questionable. On the Steelers side of things, they're going to be out their center. Zach Frazier, Cordero Patterson continues to be out, and then Roman Wilson continues to be out for them as well. We know what the big story is, and this is the move to Russell Wilson and what we saw last week. I don't want to try and overstate that it is a completely different offense with the two quarterbacks, so I will give everyone that. But I will say also, Russell Wilson played some YOLO ball last week, and it just happened to work out, and I do wonder just how replicable that is going to be on a week-to-week basis, even against a Giants secondary that is down to starting corners, that is not going, that hasn't been good against the pass all year as it is anyway. But I'm sure you watched the game. There were five different Russell Wilson drops back and just throws it 40 yards down the field. And, you know, Pickens caught one. He got a pass interference on another. It worked for the Steelers. But can you do that on a week-in, week-out basis?
Well, I think so. This is what gets tough, right? Because I think when we talk Russell Wilson, like this is, we've seen him do that on a week-in, week-out basis for years in Seattle. Yeah. How much has he changed over the past couple of years? I think that's what we really got to figure out. I don't know that I'm ready to make a rush to assess any of that, Matt.
Because
I'm a big Russell Wilson fan. I was a big Russell Wilson fan when he was in Seattle. I was as stunned as anybody to see how he just fell off when he got to Denver. Just change the scenery. He might be able to change things up. I do think, though, when you put it the way you did of consistently, no, I don't think he's going to be able to do it consistently. And part of that comes because of the pieces that Pittsburgh has around him, too. While they might not be terrible, they're also not a great set of weapons in the league either. So really interesting. Look, this game tonight where numbers are at, I can't argue with the total. Probably be a lean to the under for me. I don't have a bet on the game. Giants, if I see a 6.5, I might have to jump.
So the 6.5 would probably get me to pull the trigger on the Giants, just because mainly I think they do have a decent amount of chase factor when you have neighbors out there and you got Wandell Robinson and Daniel Jones. I don't think that you're going to get a blowout here from the Steelers at all. We'll take a look at some World Series, also talk some NBA when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. There's a World Series game tonight, Kelly Bidlin, game number 3. And you've been watching along, and if you're a Dodgers fan, it's just gotta feel good. It's just gotta feel good. I don't really root for a baseball team. I don't really have a team, and so I just kind of try to judge what it must feel like for some fan bases.
Yeah, it's gotta feel pretty good.
Back and I'm like, I live vicariously through you and your enjoyment and or your heartache if you're the other side of things. And I'm like, yeah, it must feel pretty good.
It feels pretty good until you see Shohei Ohtani grabbing at his shoulder, but then you read news the next day and oh, never mind, he's gonna be fine.
He is going to play. At least that is the word, that he is going to play tonight. It is Walker Buehler on the hill for the Dodgers, going up against Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. This is minus 155 Yankees at home, plus 130. Dodgers on the road as dogs. 8.5 is our total, which is heavily, heavily juiced towards the over in this one. Kelly, it is a Walker Buehler is a dude that has been up and down, all the talent in the world, and certainly can go out and give you a good start. Also can go out and get absolutely shelled. The number doesn't surprise me here in this one, considering the Yankees are coming back home and it is Walker Buehler, who is known to get lit up from time to time. I'm just probably never laying a 155 price against this Dodgers team, like under any circumstances, especially since Ohtani is going to play. Now, you maybe could talk me into, hey, man, that is the heart and soul of that team. You look at Ohtani, if he's not out there, maybe the Dodgers don't give it, you know, their full go. Maybe they're a little bit distracted. But the fact that he's going to be out there, I just don't know how I'm ever laying a price like a 155 against him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think the one thing that's maybe a little intriguing to me tonight is this over, which is taking money right now on the 8.5.
Yeah, people are loving the over.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Buehler up and down. I think that the bats are, I mean, look, I think if the Yankees are going to win one of these games, it's probably going to be coming from the offense here in one of these non-Garrett Cole starts. So kind of expecting to see more life from their bats tonight. And, you know, especially if Walker Buehler has a rocky start. And then the Dodgers, I mean, it's everybody in the lineup right now feels like they're hitting or providing in a big way, especially at the top. So I'm kind of with you. I think I wouldn't expect the Dodgers bats to slow down much. And I would be leaning towards the over here tonight.
Yeah, me too. Over, maybe a first five Yankee. Like I said, like if you're kind of just going to bank on one of these Walker Buehler starts where he gets hit around a little bit. And I think there's a little bit of a correlation between the over and maybe even looking at the Yankees too, because I think if a lot of runs are going to be coming, it would probably be coming off of Walker Buehler. So a couple different ways to look at it that way, but I'll figure something out maybe before the time this thing rolls around. But I kind of want to get a little bit clearer. All they're just kind of saying is like, yeah, we're optimistic. Shohei can be out there. Yeah. It's going to be fine. It's like, I kind of like a little bit more of you to tell me exactly how a partial dislocate and he's just going to be out there.
I'm like swinging a bat with a dislocated shoulder.
Again, not a doctor, never gone to 1 second of medical school, but I do wonder about, like, you know, the guy looked in a lot of pain walking off the field, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah, it's fine. He's gonna go. No big deal.
It was the World Series. What was the game we were doing on prime time back? Was it Bellinger dislocated, right? Yeah. And I bet like under
first pitch.
Yeah, first pitch was a home run. I bet under his RBI. So I'm gonna say be careful with taking that route tonight. Listen to Matt Brown. Maybe wait till you figure out exactly what Shohei's looking like this evening.
I sit there and I just go, this guy's partially dislocated. And there's like, yeah, you know, he's fine. 2 days later. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe arms just work differently.
I'm also still like weirded out by the injury itself, though, because he just like looked like it was a fine, normal slide. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, why isn't Shohei getting up? Like, what's going on? Like, why is this taking so long? And yeah, I was not expecting that to be the result.
So we do have, you know, varying lines out there. Everything from as low as minus 141 in the market to as high as minus 155. So as always, be sure and shop around for these lines. And if you're looking for some really good lines, actually Sport Trade will give you minus 104 instead of minus 110 out there. Everybody who's making those bigger bets, you know how important that is. And they will take those big bets from you if you're looking to get down tens of thousands of dollars. They're actually live in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and even Virginia now. So you go download that Sport Trade app. Use code VEASAN, you're going to get 10% cash back on each wager you make in your first week. Now, terms do apply to this, and you got to be 21 years or older. If you do have a gambling problem, please, 1-800-GAMBLER, Sport Trade app, promo code VEASAN. All right, Kelly, the NBA rocking and rolling. Have you been able to take, I mean, I know this is like that weird time of year where it's like,
It's the equinox.
All four sports today, people, for those of you who celebrate.
That's right. Yes. For those of you let us know if you do celebrate. Please tweet us in. Like, do you actually try to bet or watch the entirety of one of every four, game out of every four sports?
What you really need to do is put together the equinox parlay, one bet in each sport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do that. I'd be more impressed watching one game from every sport.
We could do that. The only problem would be is our hockey bet would be just a complete shot in the dark.
We'll call up Jay Connor.
Our hockey bet would just be a complete shot in the dark. We'd have no idea how that was going to go. But so have you been able to take in enough NBA there? Are you starting to kind of get a feel for these teams a little bit?
Yeah. As you know, I think this is always start of the season. If you're betting NBA as much mm-hmm. as I do, I'm a believer in you come out swinging. If you think mm-hmm. you see an edge from what you've kind of got teams rated at preseason, yep. You go and make some bets. The good thing that's what's nice about betting the NBA and any of these sports that have long seasons, Matt, if it doesn't work, you can always take a week yes. or two off, readjust, get a chance to look at some teams yes. more.
This
around
is an every
Christmas.
Night sport. This isn't a once a week sport.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep, so exactly. So, not coming out overly aggressive, but it's been pretty good so mm-hmm. far. It was a nice opening night, nice opening Wednesday, Thursday, and then kind of been batting around 500 since then. So yeah, I've got one play loaded up so far for tonight, although this number has moved. So sorry, this is what happens in the NBA with injuries and stuff like that. I laid 5.5 with the Magic. They were hosting the Pacers last night. Not as crucial. I had kind of had this side circled already, mm-hmm. But Indiana then gets into an overtime game yesterday with Philadelphia. That would matter to me way more if it was later in the season. Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season, it doesn't quite matter as much with these teams worried about some of these stars being tired and some of these players being tired. I'm not overly concerned about that, but knew this number was going to end up running this way towards the Magic. So late 5.5 with them at 7, I'd probably stay away. The Pacers are feisty enough. And this Magic team, the defense is so good. The offense still coming around. There's a chance this could be a lower scoring game, and they could be keeping the keeping Indiana around to see the point spread get through for them. A couple other games I did have circled. I'm going to be watching here. Cavs-Knicks in action tonight. Now the Cavs. This is where you talk about what have they done so far, yeah. right? They've looked great so far. One of the teams is 3-0, looking really good. Everybody's talking about them. But who have they played, right? We talk about this a lot at the beginning of the football right. season, stuff like that, right? Wizards, Pistons, Raptors. Let's not go crazy yes. here over the Cavaliers. And while I wasn't as high as a lot of people on this Knicks yeah. team's heading into this season, when you're talking about a point spread being about 2.5 right now, that feels like we've moved about a point and a half towards the Cavs just from where this would have been about a week ago if we were making lines for this game. I think there's a little bit of value on the Knicks here. I'm going to wait and just kind of see where this line moves throughout the day. It opened up 3.5 in favor of New York and has taken Cavs money since then. It's about 2.5 across the board right now. So I'm going to wait and see. I think at 2.5, though, I'll probably get involved small, Matt. But I don't think any reason to rush. If Cavs are getting bet now, they probably will get bet later. This line might come down a bit more.
People that are looking down the odds board today? And they look down and they see the Bucks are playing the Celtics and it's a 9.5 point spread heading to 10.
Yeah, that was the game I was getting to next. Yeah. This is a Bucks team, another one. They were in action yesterday, lost to the Brooklyn Nets, which that immediately rose this line from about 8.5 to 10 is where you're yeah. seeing it now. Like you said, I'm interested in the over here, but this number, I'm waiting for this number to come down a bit. And it's at 232. Both these teams, I think Celtics do have some questions, at least as far as rim protection goes right now. We know what Milwaukee's always going to try to do with Giannis attacking the rack. Now, this Boston team has looked amazing so far. They keep everything rolling over from a year ago. Not a whole lot has changed except for Kristaps Porzingis being in and out of the lineup, but they dealt with that a year ago as well. Offensively, they are humming. The Bucks' offense has looked great so far as well. Damian Lillard looking a little bit more settled. Lean to the over and lean, yes, to the Bucks that are catching double-digit points in this game. So over might make my card, waiting to see where this total settles in at, but it would definitely be a strong lean to Milwaukee as well.
Is there any point in playing out the season? It's just going to be the Lakers anyway, right? The Lakers are just going to win it all. I don't know if you know or not, they're 3-0. Have you heard?
Oh, really?
Have you heard?
And because
yeah.
of that, I mean, they're going to win
it all. Have you heard?
Is yeah. Bronny James going to win Rookie of the Year
yeah,
for him too?
I know, seriously. It's just like, I mean, we get it. The Lakers are 3-0. You have to talk about it. I get it. LeBron's the biggest star in all the NBAs, one of the biggest stars in all sports in general and period. But it's just like, Lakers are 3-0. It's like everything. Lakers are 3-0. Like, there were three games in the season.
This is also the tough part about the gambling and sports worlds, right? Where, like, I think in the gambling world, the Lakers are actually a little underrated this yeah. season. Like, I think the team's pretty good. But, of course, as soon as they do, they accomplish anything, the rest of the sports world wants to freak out and crown them champions.
We have to do that. It's LeBron James, Kelly. LeBron James.
He is still very good.
He is still very, it's unbelievable.
It's very good.
It's unbelievable. There will be tales told of him for hundreds of years after this, the way that what he's been able to do at such an advanced age. When we come back, a couple more things to hit from this past Sunday, and then we are going to get in earnest into these games for next week.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside as always. And some of these games, of course, we have Monday Night Football that is still to come. It is 6 in favor of the Steelers. 36.5 is the total against this Giant squad that I think might be a little live to be a dog here. Kelly, I'm with you on the, if a 6.5 were to pop, you get on the other side of that 6 that is becoming a little bit more key than it was in the past with all the 2-point stuff and all the, I think that's at least an interesting look, but I did put this one instantly into the account. And on Thursday, week number 9, now we're getting into the Texans and the Jets.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have been like, I can't wait for this game. This is going to be a monster.
Up to this game. And instead, it's a Texans team that is going to be without Nico Collins. They lose Steph Diggs yesterday as well. So now it is Tank Dell is your only guy basically at the wide receiver position for this Texans team that we thought was going to be just a high-flying offense because of all of everything that they had. And then you've got whatever it is that this Jets team is, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I had a pretty good idea of which way this was going to go. It opened at 43.5. I got in an under ticket. I think that maybe you could hang out because we tend to see these island games get ticked back up if you wanted to come in on the under 43. But I don't know exactly how this Texans team is going to look with only one guy out there at the wide receiver position. I think they rely very heavily on Mixon, which, as we know, if you run, can slow the game down. Jets already play very slow because Aaron Rodgers plays very slow, and they can't score the ball either. And so I see a low 40s here. I was thinking like high 30s would be more along something given the injury situation that we have in this one. So I went ahead. By the way, if you're wondering about the spread, it's 1.5 in favor of the Texans. So the Texans, despite the injury situation and being on the road, are still favored over this Jets team.
Yeah, I had them circled to kind of look ahead to look at betting the Texans this week. You're right, though. One of the parts of being so high on this Texans team was this receiving core and how many weapons they had. And now you're not even going to sit here and say Diggs has had that great of a year. Obviously, Nico Collins was awesome when he was in there. But just being down both those guys, it's even been a little weird how Stroud's kind of operated with the receivers this year, where it was so obvious yesterday, even when Diggs went out of that game, it was like, all right, Tank Dell, like, your turn to finally start catching balls. Like, you haven't battered all year for some reason, but now it's your turn. So I don't know if it's him, but he kind of locks in on these guys a little bit or what, but I guess I'd still be leaning to that side. You and I were talking a little bit during the break, but man, this Jets team, it is a disaster. There is not many positives to take away. I don't really know. I can sit here saying it's going to get all that much better, especially on a short week here heading into Thursday night. And I think that stuff does matter when you're talking about these teams, having to work in new pieces and new players. I like your undercall. I actually didn't even really look at that on the openers yesterday because I was running to see what the Texans were going to get reposted as. I would be lean Texans and lean under for me, though.
If you want to have a silver lining for the Jets, it would be that you're catching this team at home with another major loss on the offensive side. So if there was ever a time to kind of get at them, it would be here in this game. But I just can't quite get there with it. I mean, if I had to bet a side, I don't know, maybe I would be looking towards the Jets a little bit. I think it's fair to say that CJ Stroud has taken at least a little bit of a step backwards. And that's not saying that he has been bad. He's not been bad, but he just had such an outlier of a season last year and was so incredibly good, like literally top 3, top 4 quarterback in the NFL type good, that replicating that was going to be hard anyway. But he's taken at least a little bit of a step backwards here. And that's, again, not saying he's bad. I'm not saying that CJ Stroud isn't good. I'm saying he's not what we saw last year. And I don't know if the addition of Diggs messed things up a little bit. I don't know. Like, maybe there was too much. Maybe we know the reasons why Buffalo shipped him out of town was because he was difficult and difficult to deal with on the sideline and in the locker rooms. And so I don't know if that's part of it or not, but I don't think this Texans team has lived up to expectations. I don't know if there was a team in the offseason, maybe the Packers that was getting as much helium as the Texans were.
I think there's some others, but they're doing well. I think Lions, right, would be up there, but they're achieving, right? They're getting there. I'm with you on the Texans, man. This is a team that I thought they were going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Mm-hmm. You're right, maybe a little unfair to hold the standards that we held Stroud to heading into this season, but I'm not losing hope because all those weapons are coming back at some point, and I think it give him a little bit more time to rebound through this season. He could look pretty good by the end of it.
Cowboys and the Falcons. This is sitting 2.5. There is, it's 2.5. It's juiced towards the Falcons. So this could be hitting 3 anytime now. 51.5 to 52 is the total. You see the Cowboys again last night. I mean, there is no one in the history of the NFL that is better in garbage time than Dak Prescott.
Oh, it's incredible.
The most hollow stats that you will ever see, but the stats just pile up because the middle of the fourth quarter hits, and then it's like, well, time to go score some points. It won't matter. Yeah. That's basically what happens with him. And then we see a Falcons team has been so up and down. One of the most weird, curious teams to me on any given week. I look at him and I say, Kelly, Kirk Cousins, it seems like he's a little more confident now. He's over this injury thing. He wasn't stepping into throws for the first couple of games. Yep. And then you see him kind of like look completely average yet again. I get the high total. The defense for the Cowboys almost non-existent at this point without their stars out there. This Falcons defense has looked pretty poor as well. It's under a field goal with the Falcons. It's an interesting look because I don't think the Cowboys are very good.
It's just to go back real quick to the Cowboys. The other thing that's so amazing with them, like I'm actually blown away by this. The garbage time scoring, but then just CeeDee Lamb. It's maybe been different in years past where they've had more weapons, but still, like the chemistry or whatever that goes on there between Dak and CeeDee, the fact that they can force feed him as much as they do and it actually works, it blows my mind when the defense knows that's basically all they got. This was a game I thought I was going to be involved in the total. I thought the over would take money. I didn't think the over was going to take money this quick. We are all the way out to 52 in most locations on this game. Opened up like 48, I think it was 48 and a half, 49s out there yesterday afternoon. I was waiting on that for some reason. I don't know why. I do like the over here. I probably not a play for me at 52, but that's still where I would look.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Falcons offense seems like they've started to figure a little bit out. I mean, it seems as if Kirk Cousins is okay spreading the ball around a little bit more. It seems as if they figured out how to try to utilize both Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. So like, I think that was another thing that was a little bit weird for them at the beginning of the season. It was like, do we go just all Bijan or Allgeier was good last year. Yeah. What do we do with this? And like, I think they figured out that balance a little bit better. The defense has still been very, very underwhelming, which is why this total is where it is, you know? And so I'm with you. This would have been certainly a play if this was in the 40s. In the 50s, you're just...
It's getting up
still
there.
Still a lot of points.
It's getting up there. It's what I'll have to see where that moves this week. I think that's the only thing I can look at. I hear you under a field goal. I guess I'd be looking at Atlanta if we're talking sides, but they're not a team that I feel all that comfortable about.
And I do not at all, which is why it's not in the account. Yeah. It's just... I try to fade these one-dimensional teams, if at all possible, right? And like the Cowboys have no run game at all. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you guys saw Dalvin Cook run the ball yesterday, that's the most running guy in the NFL, man. It looks like your dad when you were a kid out in the driveway and he's like, I'll show you, I'm still fast. And you're like, Dad, you couldn't run out of sight in 20 minutes. There's a zero chance. Like Dalvin Cook's a dad runner now. And you're just sitting there like, dude, so this is the best options? Are you seriously telling me that Zeke and Dalvin Cook are your best options? Now, Rico Dowdle showed up to the facility and he was sick. That's the reason he didn't play. But it was horrible. But they weren't running the ball well anyway, right?
I think it is something you are seeing more clearly, though, in this year's NFL than we've seen the past couple years, where we've heard for years now downplaying the importance of running backs. But you've seen some of these running backs. Yeah. How big of a difference has Derrick Henry made in Baltimore? How big of a difference has Joe Mixon made in Houston when he's been on the field? That is a different team when he's able to play with Stroud out there. Like, part of the reason they've been as successful, at least in the wins and losses, as they've been.
And on the flip, no run game to speak of for Cincinnati at all whatsoever. Correct. You know, and it's like, so it's these teams that are kind of one-dimensional for me that I look to fade if at all possible. Like I said, I think the Falcons have kind of figured out the balance now. I think they're starting to kind of get a little bit of a rhythm. It'd be the only look. It's not in the account. I don't think that I could back the Cowboys, though, with what I've seen from this team so far. And you take a loss like yesterday, and now you just be... What are you as a team? What are you even thinking about as a team, really? Because, I mean, that was that was a shell of a 49ers team that still beat you.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. This is, if you're playing the who do you believe in more from a mental standpoint right now, it's definitely Atlanta. I mean, they're feeling good. They've been winning games. Like you said, Cousins looks like a different guy than he looked like week one. So, yeah, if you want to play that game, it's definitely Atlanta.
You know what today is?
What's today?
The Sports Equinox, baby.
How did I forget?
All four major sports, I should say, are all playing on the same day. We're going to celebrate it by giving you a great deal. VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we do from now to May the 1st for under $20 a month, Kelly Bidlin.
That's cheap.
That is everything. We're talking about the picks, the best bet, the live feed. You're going to get the guides, everything that we do. For under $20 a month, VSiN.com/subscribe in honor of this Sports Equinox. When we come back, Adam Burke